we're both throwing smoke into the night. It's raining, I suppose you need a ride. She said, I've got nothing to do, neither do you. There's a place down the road where we can waste the whole afternoon. I overheard that she was 19, she's got a fake ID and a nose ring. Those kind of girls tend to know things better than I do. And I'm dying to figure out what she's hiding. Just playing it cool, but she's lying better than I do.
And hello, all you wonderful people. This is Luke, and you are listening to my show, Elephant Loaf, on 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, we have a very special guest with us this week. Daniel, would you care to introduce yourself in whatever way you would like to?
Yes, first off, thank you very much for having me, Luke. It's truly an honor to to be a guest on the Elephant Loaf. Yes, I'm Daniel Klingbeil, a junior at Tufts, majoring in biochemistry, and hoping to be on for a great show tonight.
We're happy to have you for a great show tonight. We've got a lot of awesome questions to get into, including, for the first time, some that our guest submitted, that Daniel submitted, and we got some bangers tonight. I'm excited to talk about them. I like to start with music questions just because it's a good jumping off point. This is a radio show. I always tell guests to kind of bring a little bit of music. And you picked some questions that we haven't tackled on the show before, starting with just like, what's your favorite genre of music and what do you like about it?
Okay, so I would say my favorite genre of music is definitely rap or hip-hop, depending on how you feel about that.
Okay, yeah.
That's not going to be featured probably tonight due to profanity restrictions in almost every song that I listen to, but that's okay, because I also dabble in other genres. Indie rock is probably going to be the mainstay tonight. But I also, you know, like to listen to some jazz every now and then, get some classical on the dock. So, yeah, but I think rap for me, I really like to listen to, because it's like you kind of can tell a story throughout the song. I feel like in a lot of more poppy songs, it's more about the chorus and how it's sounding to the listener. But I feel like rap, you really have the chance to get a point across. And I think also rap is one of those genres where you can make statements, political statements, statements just about how you feel, about how society is going, about how the world is going. And for me, that's really effective to be able to use your platform like that. So that's one of the main reasons I like rap.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Do you think that has anything to do with kind of like more of a focus on the words themselves, if that makes any sense, versus the song?
Yeah, I think it can go both ways. I think, well, there's also a lot of focus on how it feels, I think, in rap. Like, you have a strong beat, and if it's a great beat, it's not like you hear it, it's like you feel it. It's like it comes alive and invigorates you. But also, yeah, I do think it's a huge part that the emphasis is on the lyrics, and, you know, not all, every rap lyric has to rhyme and stuff like that, cliches like that, but I think you're just able to put a lot more of your personality into it and make it more individualized.
Totally. That's really cool. Yeah. And then, like, kind of on the other side of things, what are some either guilty pleasure listens or things that you maybe take less seriously while you're listening?
Yeah, definitely on the other side of things. My number one guilty pleasure artist right now is Olivia Rodrigo.
That is incredible.
Yeah, kind of a stark contrast to what I just said, but it's kind of weird because it's not even really like I relate to what she's saying, or like, I don't know, it resonates within me, but she just picks bangers. That's what it is.
It's something, for me, it's something about the energy of her songs, you know, and that's, pop isn't always good about getting a message across, but really living that, you know, good for you, you know, that's, I don't know, it's really cool. You can, I find myself getting really into that sometimes, you know?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Whenever I'm on a long car ride or something, I need 40 minutes to kill, you're going straight to Sour, easily.
As you should. And so you mentioned classical earlier. Does that have anything to do with instruments that you do or do not play?
It may or may not have a little bit to do with the fact that I was raised in a very classical music household. Mm-hmm. My mom's a piano teacher. My sister is now a violin and music theory performance major. And
oh, wow.
My dad also has a liking for classical music. So that kind of set me off on a certain path. So I took piano lessons with my mom from a very young age. I think I started in kindergarten and went all the way through high school. And then I also picked up the cello in third grade, and that one also through high school. And I'm trying to continue that now, but it's hard. It's not as structured as it used to be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those instruments had a huge impact on the music that I grew up with and the music that I enjoy today. Just because I feel like you know what it's like to express yourself by playing an instrument. You might know this feeling too by your drum abilities.
True. In high school and in middle school, I played the trombone, and I think that I never like really connected with the classical music maybe in the same way that you're describing, but like there was a certain energy to being part of a band that I really enjoy, you know? And so for me, like in high school, I was part of the pep band, which was not a marching band. We were like the opposite of a marching band, but we still played at football games. Wow. You know, it was, you know, jeans and a sweatshirt. You're in the stands. And you know, we were trying to play correctly, but more than anything, we were trying to play loud, you know? And
that's half the battle right there.
That's half the battle, especially when you're at a football game and everyone's cheering and, you know, the speakers are also playing unrelated music, which I always thought was very inconsiderate to us. But yeah. And then now in college with drumming, maybe slowly more than a little bit. I'm part of a group on campus called Beats, which is a street percussion group where we drum on trash, essentially. I think that's got a kind of, in some ways, very similar energy to it that pep band did, of like kind of be a little rowdy and loud, and like the exactness of the music isn't so important as the emotion behind it.
Okay. Yeah, I can connect with that a little bit. Not so much as the play as loud as you can and let the notes fall where they may. But
really, that's not a part of classical cello?
I mean, it depends who's playing, you know?
True.
But I think definitely one thing I learned as I got more advanced is like, yeah, the intonation is a big part of it, but it's really the feeling that you put into the music and the emotions that you convey to the audience, because that's, I think, what makes classical music, for me, that's what makes it so powerful. And not really as I got into like groove, like bands or I did do orchestra, but for me the place where it really spoke to me was like solo or small 3-person chamber groups. I don't know, you can just let your personality shine through the music, and it just depends on how you're feeling that day and how you want to make your listeners feel. And I think that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, intonation, like, even in the less serious groups that I've been a part of, I guess, like, that's still a very important thing, because no matter what your music is, it needs to be readable, you know? It needs to be clear. And so, like, no matter what you're playing, I feel like if you've got kind of poor tone, that can really just tank it. And that's something I always struggled with trombone, because like the combination of breath support, like proper embouchure, and then also like the exactness of where you're holding the slide, kind of really held me back, because it's not an easy or intuitive thing, you know? And I think I don't know if this is true, but I've always seen string players as having very similar issues to that, where, you know, it's a sliding scale. It's not a trumpet where you play it, or you tune it, you press a button, and then the perfect note comes out, you know?
That's true, yeah. Tone quality is also a big thing in string instruments, because of where you're putting the bow on the you know, between the fingerboard and the bridge, it can sound too scratchy or too faint. That's a big part of it. But also, yeah, the exactness, like a trumpet versus, you know, just playing these already, like, I don't know, notes that are already there for you to play versus no shade to trumpets.
No shade to trumpets. I mean, a little shade to trumpets.
Maybe a tiny bit of shade. I mean, I feel comfortable saying that. but yeah, you definitely gotta have a feel for where the right notes are.
Yeah.
But it, also in that is a way you can introduce certain expressive elements to it. If you want to like gliss into a note, like slide into a note a little longer, can have a certain effect, or vibrato. I don't know if that's a thing for the trombone as much. Probably not.
Not at the level that I was ever playing at. How about that? I know that, I mean, you can definitely get kind of... It's the same thing where, like, the micro adjustments of maybe it's not perfectly in tune, but maybe just sounding a little bit flat right here might actually help the piece as a whole for some reason, you know? Again, levels beyond what I was ever playing at, but you know, my teacher when I was in high school would definitely talk about this stuff, which I think is really cool and interesting, even though it's not something that I'm always, or at the time I did not have the skill set to interface with as much. But yeah. You want to hop into more questions? You want to hop into a song? What are you feeling?
Do you have any more music stuff? I feel like we're on a good topic right here, but if not, I'm always game to listen to a nice jam.
Okay, we'll go into a song, mm-hmm. and then when we come back, we will hit our final question in the music category, which I am very excited for. This is Company by Sir Chloe.
Shadows in my room, and they're all in the shape of you. Give me a sign to do what I wanna do. You gotta ask me for it, 'cause I don't know what I don't know.
And we would like to bring you back to this regularly scheduled broadcast called Elephant Loaf. Here, I'm Luke. My guest this week is Daniel. And before the break, we were talking about music. And during the break, we were talking about how it's a great time to get into stickers. Just as like a free tip for any of our listeners.
I mean, it really is. We're here to enrich the audience's lives. So if there's one thing you take away from tonight's show, it's that you need to get into the sticker game right now.
It is vitally important. If you wait, I'd say more than a month, the wave's going to be passed.
It's now or never.
Bye,
people.
Yep. It's a big time for sticker investment. Sort of on this silly, goofy note, or maybe not on this silly, goofy note. I don't know. Who am I to understand what inspired you to put this question on here? But question 18 in the orange category, which is all about music and radio and other things, is if you had a radio show, podcast, or other audio-only media, which is a big category, which can be a big category, what would it be about?
Okay, the reason I wanted to talk about this just a little for a short time is because I actually did have a podcast in high school.
Whoa!
Yeah. We had a whopping 6-show run. It was a great time. It was called the Humble Hoops Podcast. And it was about the NBA and everything basketball related. And it was a lot of fun. So I just felt that I needed to share that. To give me a little more credibility. I've never done live radio.
Okay.
So I was a little nervous coming in because I'm used to just being able to redo a take or something like that. But yeah, so far, I'm having fun.
I'm very glad to hear it, but I didn't know you were old hat at this. I mean,
old hat might be strong verbiage. I don't know how far 6 shows gets you in the podcasting game.
I've heard great things about Humble Hoops in the industry. And did you do it with friends, with a small group, with a big group of people? Was it a rotating cast?
So the Humble Hoops is part of the Humble High School podcasting network. So one of my best friends and a group of his friends were running that back in high school, and we had a ton of different branches. I don't specifically remember the other one. There were definitely like a soccer one, probably some political one. But yeah, I was hosting it with one of my best friends, still one of my best friends, Aiden, back in the day. And yeah, we would just chop it up for a good hour and a half every Sunday, and then broadcast it to the world.
Okay, so many questions. This is awesome. And I'm very happy because every week I've had a moment of like, this is why I did this show. And so far, we're early into the show, but so far, that's happening again right now, which is really cool. Okay, so there was a multi-branch podcasting operation at your high school.
Yeah.
And you were talking as though you're leading this branch that was Humble Hoops.
Yeah, I mean, Humble Hoops was one of the podcasts.
Okay.
I'd say, yeah.
Group effort, probably.
Yeah, we both put in the work. I got some quality experience editing audio tracks.
Very cool.
Big Audacity guy.
Yeah, yep.
But yeah, we were just doing our own little thing. We started a little later than the rest of them.
Yeah.
Got into the podcast game late, but not too late.
And that's, as someone that got into a game late, you can remind the audience that now is the time to get into the sticker game. Is that correct?
I mean, once again, we just want to emphasize that. It can really just, it can brighten your day.
Yep.
It can give you a reason to look at your laptop and not be sad because of the work you have to do on it, but be happy because you see these wonderful stickers that you've collected over the years or days.
Yeah, I completely and wholeheartedly agree. Your friend Aiden, I'm taking a total shot in the dark right now, but if it works, this is going to be a killer, like tangent workaround.
Okay.
He's not the guy that you went on a road trip this summer with, is he?
No.
Yeah. Rough. Close. Rough. Sometimes when you take a shot in the dark, you miss. Probably more than sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about making shots and missing shots on our podcast by coincidence. Yeah.
That's full circle.
I brought it back.
You brought it back. Wow.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was not the same person.
Okay.
But I'm sure that road trip will feature later in the show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, where I was going to go with that is one question that you suggested that, with your permission, I'm going to permanently incorporate into the list later that I think is the main course tonight, kind of, is what are the top five strangest places you've spent the night? Strange can be from context, country, country, company, building, or any other factor that you would like to introduce.
Yeah, so I did actually steal this from one of our podcasts that we did back in the day because I thought it was a really great idea, and I was interested to see all the quirky, precarious places that you have slept over the years. I'm sure you've accumulated at least a couple of good ones. I will say, actually, none of the nights from the road trip that I did over the summer, just for context, I drove from San Diego to Boston over the summer with one of my best friends, and it took about 8 days. And Luke and I have talked about that off air because it's something I've always wanted to do, and Luke has done a road trip before, and so I was very excited to join his company this summer.
Long-form road trips, unlike stickers and unlike podcasts, that's a game that, in my opinion, never goes out of style.
Mm-mm.
And it is always the time to go on a long road trip. Enjoy it, live it. It brings a lot of joy, and it causes a lot of very weird moments as well, or at least it did for me when I went on one.
Oh.
And well.
Now I need to know.
So I only came up with three strange places that I've spent the night, but two of them were road trip related. That's where it comes from. But as the person who suggested this question, you must have something in mind at least to kick us off. But we can trade back and forth.
We'll do a little alternation here. I'll kick us off. We are going to travel south a little bit from here to St. John, an island in the Caribbean.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Quite south.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I went there with my parents and my cousin about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a great trip. We loved it there. But one of the places we stayed was unlike any place I've ever been before or been since. For better or for worse.
I'm hooked.
So they're called eco tents. let me paint the picture.
Please.
So it's like, it's not a traditional tent though. It's a little misleading, except for the eco part. The eco part is definitely true. It's like a wooden frame of a room, maybe 200 square feet or so. And there's a loft, there's a sink. And then it's basically just canvas. The frame is supporting just canvas. So sort of like a tent in that way.
Yeah.
And then a bathroom outside. And that already was kind of a weird thing to encounter.
Yeah.
So
far, different.
Different.
Certainly different. Different. Sounds pretty nice so far.
Sounds pretty nice. Except it gets... This is where, like, the context part...
Gotcha.
...of
yep.
the setup comes in. I did get fleas from the bed.
Oh, no!
...that I stayed in. So that wasn't great. And I was like... It was my first night there. Because I think we were staying two nights. Just lying around trying to catch some Z's, and I was like, mm-hmm. "Oh, like I'm really itchy."
Yeah,
I don't know. I wasn't overthinking it. I was like, oh, there's probably a mosquito in here. You know, not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it turns out fleas actually suck. Yeah, and I just woke up and there's just like flea bites everywhere.
That sucks.
Yeah, we don't have to go into that too much detail.
So, wait, is that what made it in Eco Tent? I hope that's not what made it in Eco Tent. I would define that as part of an ecosystem, but I.
When looking at it that way, I'm glad to have participated in the ecosystem that was put forward for us.
Mm-hmm.
The second night,
yeah,
also strange circumstances, because my cousin stepped in a sea urchin.
Oh.
Like that day.
Yeah.
Which is generally not a good thing.
No, I mean, I would agree.
And then also, he like stepped in this really rotten coconut, and it just like exploded everywhere. And if you don't know, rotten coconut smells horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even know why. Like, I love normal, good, non-rotten coconut, but that one was just, it was just off.
Yeah.
So we came back bruised and battered, smelling of something that you don't want to smell like. So then he had to soak his foot. Wait. In vinegar.
Same foot? Urchin and coconut, same
yeah,
foot?
Yeah, the coconut was kind of everywhere.
Oh, no.
So, the vinegar happened, and then...
Yeah.
We showered in, like, the eco shower, which didn't have hot water. And
which
also,
had fleas in it.
No. I mean, I wouldn't have known at that point, you know? Mm-hmm. The more the merrier.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we just slept in the bed together because we were, like, quarantining a little bit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it was a very vinegar-smelling, unpleasant coconut-smelling night. So that was my first strange encounter, I guess. I would say more than the actual place. But
yeah, definitely a strange set of circumstances. Oh.
Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend. Well, I would recommend going to St. John, because that was very beautiful.
It sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Except for most of the story you've told. But
yeah, I mean, I had to nitpick that one for this question. Otherwise, it was a great trip.
Definitely.
And yeah, you know, the fleas, they're not that bad. You grow to like them.
Did the smell of vinegar help at all the second night or not?
It just, like, kind of added to the cacophony of smells that were circulating at that point.
The number of things that were going on.
It's just, yeah. It was a lot.
It sounds like more than a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my first entry into the list of precarious sleeping arrangements.
Incredible. Incredible. Well, I think, yeah, so to offer up the first of my precarious sleeping arrangements, and the first of two that happened on my cross-country road trip, my friend and I had been driving for just so many hours. We started the day in northern Minnesota in Voyageurs National Park, and our goal was to make it about a third of the way through Montana. That includes doing the entirety of North Dakota, and we were chasing the sun the entire day.
Okay.
And I have weirdly good memories of that day in like a fever dream kind of way, because we probably got, you know, that added with the fact that it was summer, we probably were in sunlight for like 16 or 20 hours, which was awesome, but like really strange as you're driving west the whole time. And we come to, so there's a lovely website online, something to the effect of freecampsites.net.
Oh.
One of our unofficial goals of the trip was to make it from Boston to Seattle only camping.
Oh, wow.
And our second freecampsites.net adventure was stranger than our first, but both were weird. And in, let's see, a little outside of Glasgow, Montana, I forget what the name of the exact town is, there was this campsite that was totally free, and we got there, and there was one camper van there. We rolled in about 11:50 p.m., and the sun was just beginning to set, which was wild, because A, we were north, and B, it was summer, and we got there, and it was just this field, kind of in the, it like a peninsula, a big, like, wide, flat peninsula that protruded into a lake. There was not a single tree around. Well, there were a couple trees around, but we're talking two or three spread out, and they were all leaning to one side, and all of their branches were pointed in that same side that they were leaning to, which we just kind of looked at, and we were tired, and we didn't have the brain cells to think about what that could possibly mean, and so we went, oh, that's a strange thing.
Cool. When in Montana,
you know. Yeah. So we set up our tent, because that's what we were sleeping in, and we went to bed with the intention of waking up entirely too early the next day, but that is neither the point of this story nor particularly interesting. So 2 hours later, we were both wide awake, and it felt like 100-mile-per-hour winds were coming across this field that we were in. And we understood why all the trees were leaned over to one side, is because that's where the wind had pushed them. And we, at the time, both needed to use the restroom. Luckily for us, the freecampsites.net location that we had found did have, like, a little stall that we could go to, a little small brick building with a toilet in it. But, like, we'd staked the tent into the ground and everything. And we were not expecting the sheer amount of wind, and it was hot out. It's not like we were cold. It was hot as can be, and the wind was blowing, and it felt like the tent was going to blow away. And so we took turns, one of us sitting in the tent to, like, hold it down, while the other one sprinted across the field to use the bathroom real quick, and then sprinted back, the whole time nearly falling over, because, like, truly gale force winds that made it hard to walk even.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It was fun. It was wild. We were both up. It was like 2 a.m. We probably got a total of like 4 hours of sleep that night. But that, it was just the most wild thing to experience.
Yeah. So, yeah, you almost got a free magic carpet ride, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Can you leave, like, reviews on freecampsites.net? Were you able to warn people that come after you? Or is it just something you have to go through, maybe?
First of all, I think it's part of the experience. Which is...
Provided you don't get sucked up into the atmosphere and all.
which is my cover of saying, I think you totally can leave reviews. And that's never once occurred to me to do since. But yeah, I mean, what you gonna do? It's a free campsite, you know. At a certain point, it is a place where you can put your tent and no one will get exceedingly mad at you. And everything that comes with it is everything that comes with it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't think I've ever experienced the wrath of Mother Nature like that.
If you would like to, we're going to go to a song break right now, and as we do, I can do my best to locate this.
Oh, please do.
All right. Are we just going to keep going down the list? Do you have a preferred song right now, or just... I think we're on to La 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 by Lev and Callie.
That's a good song.
Glowing endorsement.
La 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 la. on the inside, babe. And you're just like the rest of us. Everybody knows we're all big on the inside, babe. On the inside, baby. Oh, I'ma smile when I see you.
Hey.
If you Muslim or you Hebrew.
Uh-huh.
If you eating or you need food. Yeah. Cause all of that is see-through.
But we know
people on the ground get so evil. In the darkness there's the moonlight. So if someone's looking down, we gon' show them what we sound like. You know the music, you know the words, yeah. This song is my song, this song is yours. I wanna hear the world sing. I wanna hear the world sing. This song is yours. I wanna hear the world sing. I wanna hear the world sing. I wanna hear the world sing. I wanna hear you sing la 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 la.
And that was La 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 by Levin Cali.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. I'm trying to every show pick up it like really pick up and enjoy one song that each guest brings on.
Okay.
And so far I think that's my vote, mainly because I already knew Kill B Girl.
okay, fair.
Which is a fantastic song,
yeah,
as well. We gotta jump to a PSA real quick, and then we discussed over the break, we realized how much time that took, we realized how much time we've got left. Daniel, you brought so many great questions here today, but I think you brought one that outshines the rest. And so I think when we come back from the PSA, we will have to just keep swapping weird nights.
I gotta keep feeding the hot hands.
on that note, we're gonna talk about dried fruit. If you're looking for some sweet, great tasting snacks that are also healthy for you, then you should try eating dried fruit. Dried figs, apples, cherries, bananas, apricots, peaches, pears, pineapples, raisins, cranberries, prunes, blueberries, mangoes, and oh so many other fruits are both tasty and good for you. Many dried fruits are an excellent natural source of cancer-fighting dietary fiber. Read the labels to understand which brands have added sugar, preservatives, and other ingredients, but no matter what, eating pretty much any kind of fruit is going to be better for you than a candy or a processed snack. This has been a public service message from all the fruits and nuts here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Wow, I mean, personally, I've been a fan of dried fruits for a very long time.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like this might be a hot take, but I feel like sometimes drying the heck out of a fruit can make it taste better. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay. Before I do, which fruit do you think is improved by it being dry?
I think, ooh.
Because I've actually got an answer in mind.
I think.
As well.
I think this one depends on how you feel. I think depending on how you feel, ooh, about apples, I think they can be better as dried fruits, personally.
All right.
That might just be because I'm used to apples. Like, they're such a standard fruit.
That you need something maybe, like different.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'm just bored of them. But especially like the Red Delicious ones, you know, they just don't do it for me. You know?
Yeah.
They're normal, non-dry.
Are you a red apple person, a green apple person, or a yellow apple person?
I'm 100% through and through a Granny Smith lover.
Yep.
All the way.
Okay.
There's just no other way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I had a really good Golden Delicious at DeWick the other day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a sentence I didn't think I would ever hear.
Me neither. And yet, here we are.
and yet, here we are. Yellow apples, I think, are definitely the lost child of the three of them.
I agree. Although, I think I enjoyed them a lot as, like, when I was younger in my youth. Golden Delicious was my go-to.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe this just, like, speaks on life. Like, maybe this is just a very sad metaphor, but I gravitated towards the more sour apple as I got older. Maybe not, though. Maybe it's just
Sorry to hear that. If I can suggest trying to wean yourself onto Honeycrisp, then I think that might sweeten your outlook on life, as well as the taste of the apples that you're eating.
I will accept Empire. Empire is a very good red apple.
Wow.
Yeah.
That we just entered negotiations. Here I was trying to humbly put forth what I think is probably my favorite apple right now.
Right now.
Oh, it changes. It absolutely changes.
Is this season dependent? Is it just like a mood thing? Is it a craving thing? Is it maybe it's just vibes right now?
I think, I mean, more than anything, as with a lot of things, it's just vibes. But I think it really comes down to when I pay attention to the apples I'm buying and eating. I went apple picking this weekend, and a lot of them. We actually didn't find any Honeycrisp. All of the, there were like three rows of Honeycrisp trees, and they were all picked clean, which I just took as a sign that it was a good fruit.
Yeah. But. Okay. So they must be highly sought after, though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just know. Okay, what do I remember from apple picking? Okay, yeah, the Cortland ones are the ones for baking.
Yep.
So don't get those.
You and I have completely different strategies while apple picking.
That's all I got.
You started a list and you ended your list at don't buy Cortland or don't pick Cortland.
Yeah.
So
one rule.
All right, you ambitious person. You go apple picking and you get approximately 10 times as many apples as any one singular person knows what to do with, and you don't bake them.
I don't bake them.
Okay.
I just eat them.
You just, wow.
Yeah. Which maybe is why I like the dried ones better now, after consuming egregious amounts of apples over the years.
It's become, after just vacuuming up apples.
Yeah. I think that's what we've just revealed now.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. Mangoes, I feel like, are very good dried. I also really like them hydrated, which I was the best antonym that I could come up with on the spot. When they're regular fruit.
Yeah. I was gonna go for wet fruit, but that just doesn't sound like something you'd want.
Something about that just doesn't sit right. I don't know. I like banana chips a lot. That's the other dried fruit that I like, because bananas are a very texture-based game, and that's why I like things that are banana-flavored, and I like banana chips, but I do not always like bananas, the fruit, nearly as much.
Okay, we're back on the same wavelength right now.
Because
I first went to mango chips, and I was like, they're good, but...
They're fine.
I mean, a good mango is just unreal.
Yep.
And then banana chips, I was like, that's probably the safe answer. I feel like people, if they had to agree...
Mm-hmm.
With one fruit being better in its dried form, I think bananas is the go-to. Because I feel like bananas get a lot of hate in the real world.
Yeah.
Whether it be a texture thing for most people or a taste thing. But yeah, I can definitely agree with that. I don't know if there are any other...
Hear me out.
Apricots.
Okay.
How do you feel about apricots?
It has been... I don't think I remember the taste of a... regular or dried apricot. Honestly, it's been a hot minute since I've had anything other than like apricot preserves.
Okay. Dried, yeah. So, yeah, I was just going to say dried apricots.
Are
I
would also, king? Incredible.
They're
okay.
There.
They're good. I was going to put forth, I think craisins are better than cranberries.
Ooh.
That's my take. Because I think cranberries are too bitter and tart for a lot of people. As someone that enjoys, I think, a lot of bitter and tart things, I like cranberry juice, and I really like craisins, but I think that craisins are better than cranberries.
Yeah. Yeah, once again, I'm going to side with you on this one. I don't even know that I've ever had a real cranberry, a non-craisin cranberry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even...
It's time to admit that I don't think I have either. I'm just extrapolating from what cranberry sauce is at Thanksgiving back to what I feel like the fruit itself should be.
Wait, you mean cranberry sauce isn't just mashed up craisins?
I don't think it's mashed up craisins.
Lies. They're clearly, it's rehydrated craisins.
I feel like it would be a scientific miracle if you could rehydrate a craisin or a raisin back into its grape or cranberry form.
Okay.
I think that has to be impossible.
Okay. Well, listen.
Do go on.
You know, maybe I'll do an experiment on my own, yep. time outside of the show.
Independent research. Get it peer reviewed.
Exactly. I'll submit, see what the journals are saying.
Yep.
And I'll get back to you on the rehydration of dried fruit.
Please. We have just about 2 more minutes of talking left in the show. Would you like to quickly share another strange night you had? Would you like to jump to another question real quick? Would you like to do just an extended sign-off is another option?
I think one thing,
yeah.
one quick little thing yeah. I'd like to do is to talk about some books that I read recently.
Please! Oh my god, please.
Plug some books. My all-time favorite book is The Book Thief. Even though I read it a really long time ago,
yeah,
I just feel like that's the one that's like stayed with me the most. And I really felt that it was impactful. And like the ending is so sad, but yeah, it really had an emotional pull for me, which is, I think, really cool if you can get that out of something you're just reading off of a paper. And then a book that I read recently, which I thought was fantastic, which might not be for everyone, but it's called Blood in the Garden,
okay.
by Chris Herring, and it's a recollection of the New York Knicks, which is a basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
And they're basically their entire decade in the 90s, and all the storylines that were going on there, and the hundreds of interviews with players.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just really well put together, something that you don't necessarily always get out of one of those like sports books per se.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was effective. It had a great plot. It kept me interested. So if there are any hoop heads out there, I'd say give it a go and you won't be disappointed.
I mean, other than the fact that sounds like an awesome book, and have to ask, was Hoop Heads the name of Humble Hoops fans?
Hmm?
Hoopheads, was that the collective name for... I mean, I'm sure that's also just a term that basketball fans describe themselves as, but did your fan base in your high school podcast, wow. did it have a show, like a... Did they have a name?
Bold of you, first off, to assume that we had fan base back in the day. I think we made it up to 9... reviews on Apple Podcasts, though.
That's huge.
So that's definitely something.
Can those podcasts still be found, out of curiosity?
No, they got taken off recently. The reason I know this for sure is because I had to look for another inquisitive
mind
person. Yeah. Hoopheads, I think that's just something It's, I say at least.
No, it's almost certainly a basketball term that I'm just not aware of for basketball fans.
But, I'm here to educate you too.
Hey, thank you. This show has been incredibly educational. Thank you so much for coming on air. Is there any final thing you would like to say as we sign off?
Yeah, just one thing. In case anybody has joined us since then, I just want to remind you that now is the time to get into stickers. It's never too late. It's been almost an hour since we first mentioned it. And if you're still on the verge, if there's a sticker somewhere in your cart, go to checkout.
Go to checkout. I think that's the best thing. That's the best note we could end on. Thank you so much for listening this week. This is Luke, joined by special guest Daniel. And you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Come back next week. We'll have another guest. We'll do some more talking. Here's some music to play us out.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Tabs on your tongue.